Now, drug addiction, still a very real problem here in Northern Ireland. One mother has contacted the show to tell us about her son's struggle to try and come off the deadly drug heroin. John, it's not his real name, has been taking it for 2 years now and wants help to come off it. Our producer, David O'Dornan, went to meet John and his mother, who we've called Jane. He spoke firstly to John.
How did you get into heroin then, or why did you try it?
I was just curious and getting around people.
Describe what it feels like to be an addict, or to feel that, you know, that need, that want, that to have it. What's that like?
You do. You really need it. Like just makes you. I don't know, just takes you where you want to be.
What's it like then when you come down off it?
Not good. Like. Yeah. Just you'll do that and you'll try anything to get more, do more, do you know? Yeah. So you do need it.
How long has it been since your last hit then? How long are you off it, feel like? Last night?
Yeah.
How much desire or drive is there for you to get off it, or is it hard to break from that?
Very hard. Because nobody wants to know you and all to you, and it's just. It's hard to deal with because nobody wants to deal with it.
Do you see yourself on a path that can get you off the drug?
Not really. Like, until I need to, do you know what I mean? It's weeks, 2 years away, do you know what I mean?
Jim, what's the impact on you personally having to watch this happen to your son? Because obviously you brought him onto the world. You've remember as a little boy, you probably didn't imagine this as a life form. So what's it like to see your son being under in the grips of drugs?
Heartbreaking to watch your child just destroy himself. It's really hard, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody to have to go through it. His aunts, uncles, grandparents, the whole family's affected by it. Mm-hmm. It's new to us. We don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. You're scared, really, are you? What might happen? I mean, he's you know
we
he's overdosed already.
We don't know how to help him. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we're doing, if we're doing right or wrong by him. It's hard to know.
You nearly lost him a couple of weeks ago, was that right?
Yes.
What was
yes.
that? Tell me what that was like when you get the call.
Well, basically, every day, I'm waiting for a call to say he's dead. I mean, last thing at night, I think about him. First thing in the morning, think about him. And you're always waiting on that call. It's happened.
Mm. But then you can't watch him 24/7. So how do you live a life? Or is this your life at the minute?
This is my life at the minute, just existing. I know nobody told him to do it, or he done it himself. He's brought this on himself. But we do need help to support these type of people. I mean, there's some people has nobody. No family to stand by them, and I feel sorry for them, and because there's not a lot of help out there for them.
Do you think it's like, you know, people are kind of generally not very sympathetic, maybe even sort of think, well, junkies, druggies, or whatever,
yes,
and there's
yes.
that kind of,
yeah.
they don't see it as actually an illness?
They don't stop to think that, why is this person doing this? Mm-hmm. Why? You know, there has to be reasons. I mean,
it could be your son or daughter.
It could happen to anybody, is
it
what you're saying.
It could happen to anybody, yeah. Mm. I mean, nobody knows what's coming to their door, so they need to be very careful in what they say.
And John has resorted to things that you or he would probably never thought they would do, crimes and stuff like
exactly.
that, other to feed the habit.
He's stealing to feed his habit, yes. And I'm not happy about that either.
What hope do you have that you can try to build a better future for John?
Just take every day as it comes, and because we don't know what the day is going to bring, so it's every day, one day at a time.
Well, when John's family contacted the Nolan Show last week, it was because they wanted more help than the weekly one-hour support meeting that he was getting. And they feared it could take weeks, if not months, to get him on a substitute prescribing programme to get off heroin. Since then, John got the news. It was actually yesterday he got the news, right? That he was being given an appointment by the Belfast Trust, which was yesterday, in fact. Family friend and South Belfast community worker Peter Montgomery is with us. Morning to you, Peter. You think there still needs to be more help, though, and more support for addicts?
Well, Stephen, nobody sends their sons and daughters out to take a drug. We have an addiction. We have different levels of addiction: alcohol, drug misuse, and prescribed medication. This is an addiction that's grown very rapidly within Belfast and beyond. Now, the heroin, it took us, we were told 3 months to be a waiting list for this person to be seen, and a couple of other people as well. Now, we had to knock on doors. We had to use politicians and other people to complain to the Trust. And it wasn't only until we made an official complaint to the Trust that we got word that it was an appointment. Now, I was to be seen. He doesn't start his treatment until 2 weeks' time, which is very good, because if you were waiting 3 months, you'd probably die in 3 months. And that's what's happening. People are taking overdose. And there's a duty of care. There's also neglect from the Trust to help people addictions. And you know, I mean, where do people turn? The outreach team give you support 1 hour a week. They're very limited what they do. They're on about a support and harm reduction, and which is good. I mean, we usually hear heroin, we say, get it out of our communities. The only way to deal with it is get it out of the communities. Man, we need to take a different aspect this here. We need to pull all our resources together. We need to understand.
How big a problem is it?
Well, I would say about 4 years ago, I knew 4 addicts who were shooting up. Now, I know we're on about 22.
Really?
They're smoking and shooting up.
My goodness.
It's a big problem for our communities. But there's a lot of parents who are living silent. They don't want to speak about it. The stigma. We need to take that stigma away. We need to support addicts. They're victims of the drug trade. And the only way forward is education and support. This is a health and a community issue. So our community leaders need to raise the occasion here and get a hang of this before it gets a hang of our communities. Hello?
No, I'm listening to you. I'm just wondering. I'm genuinely just wondering how we get a grip of this, you know?
Well, when I first dealt with people coming to me and asking me for support, I sort of didn't want to get involved in it because of dirty needles and things like that. When I researched it and got in touch with the drug outreach team, we had a good meeting. Me and a couple of parents had a good meeting with them. It's only through harm reduction that drugs are here to stay. This here drug is here, unfortunately, to stay. It's how we deal with it, educate and build support mechanisms to help addicts to come off the drug. But it's the responsibility of the addict if they want to come off it. It's not the parents or community workers or anything else. It's the addict needs to make the steps. And it's very difficult out there. It's easy to get in Belfast. You go into Castle Street, you go up Dublin Road, you go to Armour Park, I mean, Central Station. You can get it anywhere. So, you know, I mean, people coming off this here is finding it hard. And the Trust are making it harder for people to come off. So the waiting list is putting lays at more risk and putting families of addicts under pressure, and the lack of awareness and support. Addicts are feeling like third-class citizens in their own community. People don't want to know them. They're getting brushed aside. So my word to be to the communities is, look at this as if this was your son and daughter coming in with a heroin addiction. What do you do? Do you throw them away from the door or throw your arms around them and try and get some support from them? So that people need to stand up and take responsibility and also pull resources together where we can't move this situation, where we can't support them very quick.
Yeah. Ken Wilkinson, the PEP representative, has contacted us this morning. Morning to you, Ken.
Good morning, Stephen, and thanks for giving me time to speak.
Go ahead, Ken.
The drug problem is on the increase, whether people want to admit that or not. Within the Antrim area, you know, we've had several young people who have lost their lives in the last couple of years. You know, the underlying thing is the issues of drugs. We report had come out, something that I have been shouting about for several years, the drug abuse even within our prisons. We have young people getting into the Young Offender Centres, McGobley and McGilligan, and are coming out with a drug problem. You know, it's readily available. You know, that's not hearsay, that's fact. You know, within the Antrim area, the issue is on the rise. Ballymena, you know, where the mayor a few years ago challenged me, there was no drug problem. But Stephen, I have sat over the last number of years with people who have lost young family members through drugs, through heroin, through other. And even in my own family, I lost a young niece a few years back and I reckon one of ETOB killed her. So I know the personal side of the thing.
Do you not think, Ken, there'll be some people shouting at the radio that here you are, a PUP representative on, and you're genuinely talking against drugs, and yet UVF are some of the dealers of drugs, aren't they?
Stephen, I condemn anybody who deals in drugs.
Yeah, but the UVF are doing it, aren't they?
Well, see if the UVF are dealing in drugs, Stephen. Let the PSNI prosecute them. I have no problem in doing that. If they, anybody has any proof that any member of the UVF is dealing in drugs, let the PSNI deal with them.
But do you doubt, Ken, that the UVF are dealing in drugs? Do you doubt it?
Yeah, I doubt it. I would say that there could be possibly some members who are claimed to be. You know, there's a person in Antrim here, I'll not say the name, I'm not that foolish, but there's a person in Antrim here at the present time that people know who's dealing in drugs and is possibly responsible for 2 deaths people off the tablet.
Well, if people know that name, why hasn't it been given to the police? Why are the police not...
given to the police, Stephen, but they cannot catch them.
Stephen, the cops know who's selling these drugs, right? The cops are using these people to infiltrate communities to collect intelligence. They are being caught with drugs and they are being let out 3 hours later.
Obviously, the police would deny that.
Well, they can deny it all they want, but it happens. But see us here, this isn't about politics. This isn't about one side of the community or the other, or paramilitaries or anything else. This is about an addiction that's ruining families. It's like throwing a stone into a pond. It has a ripple and effect within the whole family and then within the larger community. We need to get a grip of this. We need to acknowledge within our politicians that we do have a problem. How are we going to deal with it? Only sitting around the table instead of condemning people left, right, and
well, here's a mother who's contacted us. We'll call you Kate. It's not your real name. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning. Your son, and let's not... Don't tell me where you're from. Don't tell me the age of your son. But your son is relatively young, and he's addicted to legal highs. Is that right?
And cannabis, and he's been taking tablets as well. And we're really struggling to cope again. In the middle of the night last night, he lives at home with us. In the middle of the night last night, he came in about 10:30, high. I denied it, and we went to bed, my husband and me, because we had to go up to work in the morning. 3 o'clock this morning, I heard a strange noise. I got up and found my son off his head on, I don't know what, he said cannabis, but I don't know what. He said he had been smoking a bong, so I couldn't get into the room this morning and before I left for work at 6 o'clock, but we just feel today we've come to the end of the road and we want him out, but we don't know.
How does it affect his behaviour?
He's anxious all the time. He doesn't eat. He'll get up maybe about 3 o'clock today. He'll disappear the whole day and he takes nothing to eat until he comes in maybe at 8, 9 o'clock at night, and then he can just raid the fridge out before the morning.
How's it affecting his relationship with you?
We don't have a relationship now. We just Every time we try to talk to him, we end up arguing. We've resorted to I message him on Facebook now because we can't shout at each other. I just don't know what to do now. We found the Hope Centre in Ballymena and they have been a great support to us, but now my son won't go to it anymore.
You know, I'm not telling you to do this. I'm very much not telling you to do this, but I remember another mother on with me last year and she got so much to the end of her tether. The only thing that she felt she had left to do was to get her son arrested, and she phoned the police. And she said to me that her son would be safer in jail.
You know, I think it was in August time he was picked up incapable and unconscious in the main street where we live. The police brought him home because they knew him. He brought him to our house. He didn't actually make it to our house. He escaped the police car on the dual carriageway, nearly got knocked down by a lorry and two cars. The policeman was visibly upset when he came to the door to tell me and my husband what had happened. They found him about half an hour later and they had him handcuffed, thought that they could bring him into the house to us and we could calm him down. He was trying to climb out the window because he felt that everybody was closing in on him. And he was just like nobody we ever knew.
Peter?
Well, you see, this here family, this mother is crying out for help. We need to break the isolation of the user and families. We need to support the families. The PS and I have a responsibility, a care of duty. They don't even know how to handle this. They take the young person home to the parent to deal with it, or they should be taking the young person to the hospital to get psychiatric help, right? You mean, under common law, they can take them to a hospital where they'd be seen by a doctor and a social worker and judge to see if they're in a fit state to be safe. But they don't. They send the addicts back home to the parents. It's your problem, you deal with it. And this is where the big issue is. People are afraid of the stigma, the lack of support out there, and people like this lady is crying out. What about the fire sons out and our daughters? We don't force them to take the drugs. And it's their responsibility to stand up and say, we need help and support. But they need to hit rock bottom before they do that, because the drugs have got a hold of them. Now, community groups recently in South Belfast, I sent them around a document in relation to all the concerns around a group of parents I met recently. And I was at the end of September. I still have not, in the Inner South Project, the health workers, not had a response to that document in relation to about pulling resources together, about building support. This is a health and a community issue. What are we doing about it? Are we going to wait like a nice shiny apple, we see it shining from the outside, and then say it's all rotten and it's too late to do anything?
Okay.
We need to pull our resources here. And we
Stephen,
need
can like I...
Very, very briefly, Ken, very briefly.
But our young people need help. But what the problem is too, we have got politicians here, both up at Stormont and in Westminster, who are calling for legalisation of certain drugs. I was at a lunch in the City Hall the other week regarding cannabis and trying to highlight, the PSNI and other people are trying to highlight the problems that there is with cannabis. And what I said about it, it's a gateway to harder drugs and possible death. But we need more money put into resources. It is a major problem, you know, and people need to waken up that it affects right across the board.